Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I always lean into the idea that it's very utilitarian. So we have sticks, we have dispensers with rollerballs, we have click pens. Everything is extremely easy to use and for on the go as well, because we originally always said that milk girls get ready quick, right? We have so many things going on. They're creative, they're ambitious, mm-hmm. They lead very fast-paced lives, the girl and the guy. And we wanted to create something, a line that they could use very quickly in the back of a cab, change their look 5 minutes, downtown to uptown, and something that, you know, worked really hard, but was kind of effortless to put on.
Hey guys, welcome to Breaking Beauty,
the podcast all about the best-selling beauty products and the damn good stories behind them. We're your hosts, Carlene Higgins
and Jill Dunn.
Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast, everyone. If you've just discovered us, I'm your co-host, Jill Dunn, and I'm here with my trusty sidekick, Carlene Higgins.
Hi.
And we are two beauty editors turn podcasters reporting on the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
Today, we're broadcasting from New York City with a founder episode where we're going deep on a quintessential New York brand that's taken a new generation of makeup users by storm.
We're sitting down with Milk Makeup co-founder, Zanna Roberts-Rossi, who's also the fashion editor at large for Marie Claire, and many of you will recognize her as an E! News fashion correspondent where she reports straight from the red carpet.
Milk Makeup was born out of the creativity and coolness of Milk Studios and the Meatpacking District right here in New York, home to glamorous photo shoots and fashion shows since the late 90s, which is why all of their products, they're really easy to use, but they never sleep on a trend.
Yeah, and this brand was founded in just 2016, and already, like, when Billie Eilish is accepting all of her Grammys, she's only wearing Milk Makeup. It's incredible the rise to success that this brand has had. And in today's episode, you'll find out the backstory behind the iconic Kush High Volume Mascara, the first mainstream makeup product to tout cannabis in its formula.
Now, what we do here at Breaking Beauty is we're going to take a few minutes to weigh in on the best-selling product. If you guys want to skip ahead to hear Zanna, go ahead and do that.
So this is the Kush High Volume Mascara. It's $24, $32. And it's actually hemp-derived cannabis seed oil. And so that's meant to have a conditioning effect in the mascara. But what I really like about it is that it is a fiber mascara. And so what that does, it adds teeny tiny little fibers to your actual lashes swipe by swipe, and that gives the building and that fanning effect on your lashes. Mm-hmm. So typically when you get a new mascara at home, this one is very weighty. It feels very luxe in your hand, like it feels heavy. Typically when you get a brand new mascara at home, you like open it up, you get that very satisfying like when you take it out, it's usually too wet. Like my friends and I always say, like a mascara is perfect like 2-3 weeks in.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
So it's just like easier to apply when a little air gets at it and stuff. But what you'll notice right away with this one is that it feels drier upon application. And that's not because the product is dried out at all. It's just that it has these fibers built onto this cone-shaped brush. Mm-hmm. So it builds the lashes, and the fibers themselves are like heart-shaped, which are different than the traditional fibers used in a lot of other formulas that are more straight up and down. So that kind of deposits in the center of the lash and helps it fan out. So
well, your lashes are looking fluffy today.
Yeah, and I like that it's the fluff effect, but not the spidery effect. And it also just washes right off at the end of the day. It's not stubborn to get rid of. So yeah. What about you? What are you loving?
Well, my favorite is the Hydro Grip Primer. I know that's another one of their bestsellers. And it's $30 US and 40 Canadian. I think, Jill, you know that you've been trying for so long to sell me on primers, mm-hmm. and I just never do it.
Yeah.
I'm lazy / busy. And I also find a lot of them have silicone or feel like silicone.
Right.
And I just think somewhere in my head, I'm like, that can't be good for skin.
Right.
And I just don't even like the layers, the cream layers. I like to layer my skincare, but
right.
not with different creams.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I love about the Hydro Grip Primer is it's a gel formula. So it feels really refreshing when you put it on. It's got aloe water in it. It's got hyaluronic acid. So it's super hydrating. It has almost like a cooling effect.
Mm-hmm.
And it does its job. Like I use the Milk Makeup Foundation, which is in a stick. I kind of go section by section over my face. And when I blend it in, it's really seamless and my pores are kind of disguised and it's like a little bit dewy.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely continue to use this one.
So with that little prelude, we're going to get into our interview with Sana as she retraces the tale of how Milk Makeup came to be.
We'll also get real about the cannabis hype around the best-selling Kush mascara. I mean, what does it actually do? Mm-hmm. Is it a gimmick? I know you guys want to know. Sana's going to tell us her self-care secrets, plus the best red carpet beauty tips she's ever received. And we're going to get some exciting news about where the brand is going next.
Welcome, Sana Roberts-Rossi.
I am Sana Roberts-Rossi, and I co-founded Milk Makeup.
Great.
Yeah. Now, you grew up in Manchester, UK, mm-hmm. and we can tell by your accent. So tell us what it was like growing up there. What kind of kid were you?
Oh, my gosh. I was one of three girls. Mm. So I was the youngest who was constantly on my sister's case to, like, steal their clothes, steal their makeup, you know, all obsessed with everything about my mom's magazines. I was that kid in Manchester who was really into fashion, beauty, but it was the early 90s. So it was like the Hacienda days. There was a big music scene. There was lots of like the club scene. So I was really into like the bright eyeshadows, the big hairsprays. But I was just a normal kid, a very traditional family. There was nothing kind of odd about us. We were just really lovely family. And I was very interested in the idea that magazines existed and how people, what was this job as an editor? Like, how would people put in these things together to create pictures in magazines and the words that went with it? And I was just always really, really interested in that.
Did you have like Vogue covers on your wall, like Kate Moss pictures like we did?
I had a few. Yes, I was totally obsessed with Kate. Absolutely. Yeah. Like as we all were at that point, I think.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I read something that you used to have like bright red hair. Like,
I did.
Before you were an editor, but which is really hard to imagine because I feel like you're such a quintessential blonde. Now
it was, you know, it wasn't even a mistake. I did it and I really enjoyed it, but it was like a massacre every time I dyed my hair in the bathroom. It was a disaster. But you guys know, I mean, this was when I was a beauty assistant.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So you have a plethora, you have the best people in the world, like, come into the salon, come on, we'll try this thing on your hair. And oh my, I would try everything. So yeah. I had the red hair. I think I had blue hair at one point. And I was kind of a guinea pig for the beauty department, I think. I was way up for it as well. I mean, like I said, they were the best people in the industry.
Yeah. So tell us a story about those magazine days, because they were so different back then, of course, than they are now. Is there an elaborate press trip you'll never forget or a moment?
Like,
you know.
Yeah, is there a juicy moment? Like if you were writing the book about your beauty editor days,
ooh,
what story would go in there?
Good question. Well, first off, you mentioned trips. They were the most epic trips. I remember one Kara Stars trip and we were taken to Santorini. No, that was someone else. Oh my God, we used to get flown all around. No, it was Ravello in Italy. It was the most beautiful hotel, like the infinity pool. We are wined, we are dined, we are eating the most fine food. We have spa treatments. Like you look at the schedule and you're like, basically it's like manicure, pedicure, 10 minute seminar about the product.
Yeah.
And then you can try all the ingredients, which are basically grapes. So we're like, literally drinking the wine. No, I mean, private jets,
yeah,
the gifts. Being in beauty, you'd get the fashion gifts, so you'd end up with the Chanel bag when you arrive somewhere on the bed. And it was incredible, the amount of money they pumped into it. And I was the benefactor of maybe our beauty director didn't want to go. So I'd be the one like, yeah, I'll go. And that was actually one of the first ones I went to New York. And that's how I kind of fell in love with New York. I remember that was actually interviewing Diana Ross for MAC when she did the Viva Glam.
Wow.
I remember going to the Carlisle Hotel, being completely wowed by this like uptown chicness of it all, the soft furnishings. And I sat opposite Diana Ross and John Dempsey was there as well. And, yeah, you know, I was asking her if it was my first big celebrity interview. So I think that really stood out for me as like this moment of, oh my gosh, I love my job. I love New York, this celebrity idea, this whole like makeup and how the collaborations as well with celebrities were happening back then. And
yeah,
there were the
a lot
first
of fragrances.
Always, yeah.
Yeah. And were you nervous? Because you speak to so many celebrities now. Did you have to like build that like a muscle?
100%. Yeah. I was petrified that. I remember very clearly probably being up all night before I interviewed Diana Ross because she's a legend. But I was very, like you said, it's a muscle, new practice. And I'm very one for, if I'm scared of something, I try and do it anyway and just mm-hmm. really just keep practicing. You know, I practice my questions. I write them all down. I still do it today. Yeah. I have them all in my phone. If I look at any celebrity name in my phone, you'll probably find 10 questions that I've asked to them.
Yeah.
I think it's important to practice. You know, I don't think you're born with the ability to be a journalist and talk to celebrities. And yeah, you can always get better.
Yeah, yeah. And it's intimidating. Like, I remember my first big one was Terry Hatcher. And it was her in the, what was
Desperate
the show?
Housewives.
Desperate Housewives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was like, it was her and then there was four other people on the couch beside her. And I felt like they were just waiting for me to say the wrong yeah. thing. Because yeah. you would hear those stories about mm-hmm. sometimes there would be, you know, whoever it was, and a journalist would ask something and get kicked out of the room. You know, yeah. those scary stories?
Yeah.
You're like, that can't be me.
I've definitely had the snap from a couple of people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it scares you, yeah. But that's all, I think it's all character building and it's all experience and it just chalk it up and you're mm-hmm. like, okay, keep going.
Yeah.
Especially if you're, you know, it's great if you're in those situations to interview them, like, you know, that was set up by a brand or yeah. it's an actual interview for TV. But sometimes, you know, the carpet interviews and you're almost like, you're bombarding people, yeah. right? And sometimes it's not greeted with the most affectionate response. So you have to be able to handle that and manage that in the situation. But luckily, I'm pretty well known at this point in that world. So
yeah.
it's nice. They trust you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I remember you sort of rose through the ranks at Marie Claire in the UK uh-huh. as a beauty editor. And I remember a story you did. And I don't know if it was in the UK or in the US when you eventually moved here to work on Marie Claire, but you were doing like almost like an undercover makeup yeah. artist. And I remember reading that and going, I hope everybody knows that this is what she's doing because it's such an intense like environment backstage.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you read that. That was one of my, that's kind of when I figured out my voice as a beauty editor and a writer. Yeah, MAC, the good people at MAC, I had this crazy idea to go and basically do a whole fashion week in Paris as a MAC makeup artist. P.S. I cannot apply makeup or could not at that point. And I remember they were so wonderful about Terry Barber and I were like traveling around from show to show. The one of the highlights was being backstage at the Alexander McQueen show when Lee was around. I was putting fake eyelashes on like Erin O'Connor or someone. Mm-hmm. And I remembered like my hand was shaking so badly. And I basically demoted myself to go and apply strobe cream to people's legs as they were walking out because I was too nervous to do anything else. But it was so much fun. And I really got this kind of buzz of how hard they all work. And you know, as a beauty editor, mm-hmm. you're usually asking the questions. So you're that person who's like sticking the dictaphone in somebody's, dictaphones back then, yeah. not an iPhone, in somebody's face. And saying, what's the inspiration? What's the trend? How are we doing
right.
this? But there's something in that, the takeaway, right? So I've always been interested in how to gather this information from the experts mm-hmm. and take it away and then disseminate it back out to an audience, which is right. your job as an editor.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was before social media. So you were really getting the behind the scenes scoop for that story. It was really eye opening.
Well, that we were the only people doing it at
yeah.
that point, right?
Yeah.
So that we're the only people giving away, like actually helping people learn which color lipstick worked for them, how to apply a foundation, what is a primer. You know, there's now today, thank goodness, there's so many more outlets. But the responsibility was there for sure.
Yeah. And then, so you mentioned you came to New York and you kind of fell in love with this place. Mm-hmm. And you worked on a lot of photo shoots, and that's what led you to Milk Studios. So tell us that story.
This is a fun one. I was actually shooting a beauty story here in New York, and the photographer I was working with, we'd just done a trip to the Hamptons, and it was with Petra Nemkova at the time. And we were doing a studio shoot as well, and the photographer was like, yeah, we'll do a couple of days in the studio, we'll shoot at Milk. And I was like, oh, it's Marie Claire, and it's the UK, and this is really expensive, we don't think we can afford that. We kind of scrappy at the time. And Michael Williams, the photographer, he's like, no, I know the guy there. It's fine. We can get a good deal. I'm like, great. Okay, cool. So on the day of the shoot, we're doing this awesome, literally like racking through the shots, like so many great shots, this really good beauty story. And then I suddenly realized my photographer had gone missing. Where is he? We have so many shots to do. We're on a time limit. I walked outside of the studio into the lobby area, and there was my photographer playing like Xbox with this dude. And I'm like, what are you, like, come on, chop, you know, time is money. All 24-year-old sassy editor I was. And then the guy he was with bounded over and was like, hey, how are you? I'm Rossi, I'm from Milk. Thanks so much for shooting here, blah, 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 blah. Long story short, he's now my husband. We have twin girls together and we co-founded Milk Makeup.
Aw, love that story.
What year was that?
That was 2006.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Amazing. And so what made you decide, the two of you, that, you know, because you're a beauty editor and you see there are so many lines out there. So what made you decide that you needed to launch Milk Makeup?
Exactly that reason. You know, you see so many products come across your desk. You guys know it's saturated. Mm-hmm. So there was always the idea of, if we were going to launch something, it had to be something that was totally unique, that didn't exist, and it had to be a white space. There was no point in doing anything that already exists. Mm-hmm. Cut to, if you've been to Milk, right? So Milk Studios is this creative community, right? It's a melting pot of artists, influencers, celebrities, musicians, photographers, editors, stylists, like the creative community that lives there. And it's kind of amazing just to hang out in the lobby area, though, or in the jam room, or in the gallery. So Milk Makeup was really inspired by the people who live there, this creative community that wear makeup in such a unique way. You know, myself, Rossi, Georgie Greville, and Diana Ruth are the other two co-founders. And we would just sit in the lobby of Milk and watch people go by wearing the most incredible makeup, like the assistant of the big editor, right? And she'd wear like a graphic eyeliner, or the beautiful photographer's assistant who'd have like the big bushy eyebrows, but the beautiful skin. And the way that they wore makeup was just so interesting, and it was so different. And it was almost less about the looks that were being created in the studio. Mm-hmm. It was about the looks that were worn by the creative community around Milk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so when did you first have the idea? And then it was officially launched in 2016, is that right?
2016, yeah. So it was a couple of 2.5 years before that, I think. I mean, Rossi and I have been talking about Milk makeup line with Rossi when I was living in New York. London.
Oh, wow.
So that was 5 years before that. Mm-hmm. But the idea was really crystallized probably 2014. We went to Sephora in San Francisco with an idea, an amazing sizzle reel, a great deck. We had so much passion and enthusiasm, zero product to speak of.
Right.
But Georgie, myself, and Rossi sat around the table, talked to the incredible people at Sephora, and you know, their eyes lit up. They realized we were talking about something that didn't exist. And it was a very Gen Z-led brand. It was vegan. It was fresh. And it was something that they were just like, okay, if you guys can make this, then we're in.
Wow.
So like swatch unseen. Sephora's just like,
completely. Yeah.
Get us everything stat.
Stat. And then, but we didn't have anyone to make the product.
I was just going
to
say, what do you do then? They say yes. You put all the work in, they say yes. And then you're like, oh dear. Oh God.
Let me tell you, that flight home was interesting. Right? That's when we found the wizard that is Diana Ruth, who is our COO and co-founder, but she creates all the products. Mm-hmm. She has an amazing background at Hard Candy, Bliss Cosmetics. She worked with Liam Fung for a long time. But she is just a creative genius, and she will never, ever create anything that already exists. She's all about innovation, ingredient stories, great componentry. So we joined forces with her back then. I remember her first meeting with us. We're all around the table going, like, because we had a lot of ideas, we had a lot of passion, like, Razzy, Georgie, myself. And Diana's kind of just sat there staring at the three of us going, oh my God, this is going to be so interesting. But she managed to take all this energy, these ideas, these thoughts, and make them into tangible products.
Yeah.
I really think the interesting part about the packaging, that sort of like push pop idea, was that from the
clear Lucite, and it's got the milk. It's like a very modern font.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of transparent, as we are as a brand, right. You know, and everything about it. I always lean into the idea that it's very utilitarian.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we have sticks, we have dispensers with rollerballs, we have click pens. Everything is extremely easy to use and for on the go as well, because we originally always said that Milk Girls get ready quick, right? We have so many things going on. They're creative, they're ambitious, they lead very fast-paced lives, the girl and the guy. And we wanted to create something, a line that they could use very quickly in the back of a cab, change their look 5 minutes, downtown to uptown, and something that, you know, worked really hard but was kind of effortless to put on. We wanted to kind of rewrite all the things that were contradictions in terms. We wanted to rewrite. Why can't you get ready quick but still have really great payoff?
Yeah.
Why can't you have cool products that are actually still clean?
Right.
You know, they can still be extremely low maintenance, but yet high in tech.
Hi, I'm Heather McMahon. I'm an actress, comedian, living at home with my mother. On the Absolutely Not podcast, we'll laugh, we'll cry, we'll probably prank phone call our ex-boyfriends, because honestly, they were the worst. The thing that makes our podcast different is I get to hear directly from you. You can always pick up the phone and catch us on the Absolutely Not line. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a message, but of course, only if it's a nice one. Tune in to the Absolutely Not podcast, and I'll see you soon.
Now, having said all that, I feel like the product that's made the most headlines is the Kush mascara.
Are you wearing it right now?
Yeah.
Okay. And so is this your number one bestseller now?
It's our number one bestseller. It's won 12 awards. We cannot keep it on the shelves.
Yeah.
It truly is. And everything about it is so innovative. You know, even the packaging, the packaging that we're looking at right here now, it's silver, it's heavyweight, it's kind of like a bullet feel. This was made in a luxury car factory in Italy. I can't say the name.
Bikini.
But it took 150 iterations
for
them to get this right. Like, that's how intense it was. It also has a puff brush.
Right.
Again, another pun, but it has this tree cross brush. So it, from the base to the top, when you wiggle, wiggle, wiggle on the bottom and pull it up, it creates this clump-free finish.
Right.
Now, this mascara has gotten a lot of headlines. A lot of people refer to Kush mascara as cannabis mascara. So let's get it on the record. Is it hemp? Is it CBD? What exactly is it? And what are the proven benefits?
Okay. So it's conditioning hemp-derived cannabis seed oil.
Okay.
And it's non-psychoactive. I cannot stress that enough.
And some of those headlines talk about, you know, the language around, obviously you've played with some puns, like with the 420 and the puff brush and one hit for high volume. And some people have said, you know, that's kind of glamorizing drug culture. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think there's an element of the drug culture, which is very beneficial in the fact that how many brands now use CBD oil in their products. And like we were just talking before about the benefits of CBD oil for health, CBD oil to numb the pain of a high heel. Like, we are not glorifying anyway, but it's a very real beneficial quality. And then we absolutely want to use that and champion that. And if it helps in makeup, then why wouldn't we use it?
Right. Okay, so Zana, we've talked about the makeup. It's such a runaway hit with the push-up pops. And now you guys are venturing into skincare. So tell us about that and the offerings that you guys now have.
Yes, we have. We just launched Vegan Milk Moisturizer. So we are obviously called Milk Makeup. We're a vegan brand. So the irony in that. So we say moisturize the milk way. And it's an incredible vegan moisturizer that contains four different milks. desert milk, which is trademarked. So it's basically, if you think of all the plants in a desert, there's extracts from this. So they survive in arid temperatures. So you can imagine how moisturizing that is in itself. Fig milk, which is super softening. Oat milk, which calms. And argan milk, which protects.
Right.
So the combination of all four mixed together is this super delicious, nourishing moisturizer that is actually my holy grail. And it's fragrance-free, paraben-free, super nourishing, as I said. So you can use it on sensitive skins as well, which is so important.
Yeah, it's really, the texture of it, it feels very luxurious. Like, I like to use it at night.
Yes,
feels like your skin can really drink it in.
Yeah, it's a lovely, it's almost like that night mask. And then you wake up in the morning with it much fresher. I also apply it to damper skin in the morning after the shower, because then it really, it does obviously absorb much better on warmer, damp skin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And applying the upward motion, which is also good for, because you don't want to be dragging it down.
Yeah. And then you guys also, that was in December, and now you have the cleanser that kind of goes along with it, right?
Yes, which contains exactly the same milk. So it's super nourishing. It doesn't leave it dry. No sulfates. So it doesn't leave that squeaky, horrible dry skin.
Right.
And it's got that great milky formula. So you can pop it on and then have fun taking
it
off.
I really find that the lather is like rich. Like when I tried it, it's like, it's taking all the makeup off too.
It really works as a great, use it as an eye makeup remover as well.
That's my ultimate test.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to put it around the eyes and if it gets everything off, it's like, okay, passes that test.
And because it's fragrance free as well, it's non-chlorine and it doesn't obviously irritate in any way. Okay. I tried the moisturizer on my kids. We had so much fun with it. And they're 5 and they break out with anything.
Yeah.
And they were totally fine with it. So that's kind of my test.
Yeah. I think it's great because it does, obviously the whole line targets Gen Z, but it's fragrance free. Because usually when products are sort of trying to capture that market, they're like, let's make it smell like candy and unicorns. Yeah. And, you know, it's not great for skin.
It's not great at all.
Yeah.
Me personally, I cannot go near anything with a fragrance. And, you know, if we've tried the best in the business, the most wonderful ultra rich creams, but we've got a slight fragrance in them, complete breakout.
We understand that Amore Pacific is a partner to the brand now.
Yes, indeed.
So is that skincare prowess coming to the fore? Are you sharing technologies and knowledge or not so much? And
that's a big South Korean brand.
Yes.
They are the best, the biggest in Korea, and they're incredible partners, and we look forward to doing a lot more with them.
Yeah,
they're known for their incredible next level innovation when it comes to skincare. So we can't wait to trade some secrets.
Okay. That's cool. So it's like a partnership then?
Yeah.
Or interesting. Well,
and is there anything you can reveal in terms of what's next?
The Kush family was launched on 420, and there will be something else coming out this 420.
Okay.
I can't share just right now, but but we will be doing something big on 420 in the Kush family.
We'll look out for that.
Very cool. It's really hard to believe that this brand is not even 5 years old since this, you know, milk entered the space. So looking back, what's been the hardest part of launching a beauty brand for you?
The need, the desire to want to do so much, but then obviously it has to be done step by step. And then there's a certain amount of financials. And then there's, I think, you know, the idea of, and also finding great people and keeping great people and like that's, it's so important to us to keep this right community around everyone who works at Milk. And, you know, that's a big part of it. And then the innovation and always being ahead of the curve, never doing anything that already exists. There's just so many things that go into building a makeup brand, you know, and I think so many people don't realize the amount of graft and the people and the passion that go into every single step of it.
Right. And doing it with your partner as well. I'm sure that comes with its own like set of boundaries around
it does,
that.
It does. Absolutely. I think in the beginning they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And that when we launched, we have twin girls and they were 1.5. And launching a makeup line is no joke, especially when you're doing it with Sephora. And we were ambitious from the get-go. It wasn't a small couple of SKUs. We launched with like 82 SKUs.
Wow.
And, you know, the idea of launching with your partner and, like, you know, being in the shower talking about budgets or marketing ideas or every time you're in the car with someone, like coming up with something else or staffing, like that's not a sexy conversation. So we literally agreed to have like one meeting a week where we talk about all this and we really try and not bring it home unless it's the fun stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but also, Georgie and Diana, who... two of our co-founders, when we launched, they had kids. So between us, we had 5 kids under the age of 3. when we launched. Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of the, a lot of the product benefits and the product values are because of that, like getting ready quick. Mm-hmm. We did not have time for a 22-minute process in the morning. Right. We had minus 7 minutes.
Right.
So everything is quick to use on the go. Mm-hmm. The fact that we're clean. We wanted our kids to be able to play with us, the stuff, and not worry about them breaking out.
Right.
Yeah. Ultimately, you're the number one tester. You're going to do it first.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so how do you balance it all? Because you've got twins and you've got your correspondent duties and you're still an editor at large and you're running a company. Do you have any self-care secrets?
Self-care secrets? Mm-hmm. I've just come back from a few days away, so I feel really fresh now. I'm like, I feel great. I can do it all. Probably taking a minute, right? Yeah. So taking those weekends and trying to turn off and use a different part of your brain, be with the kids, run outside, take your shoes off, like be with nature. Mm-hmm. That's something I'm only just realizing is so important. Mm-hmm. And we just keep going and going and going. We're actually renovating a house, and I think that's been, it's been psychologically really good for both of us because we switch off from any of this and we're really focusing on paint.
Picking out paint.
Tiles. And we can argue about something else now. Yeah. It's great.
The funnest.
And where's your house? Is it upstate?
Upstate,
wow. Yeah. So fun.
Upstate New York. Yeah, it's so great. Good. And it's for the kids as well. And, for us. And, the drive itself, that was 2 hours, I think, getting the family in the car. It's really, it's precious time. And it's where you really communicate. And I don't think you can underestimate the conversations you have in a car with kids. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun. We all decompress. We get there. I spend 2 days and then travel back and feel pretty much refreshed.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. What about some plane beauty travel hacks? I feel like you basically live on a plane.
I live on a plane. I do. I spend way too much time on a plane. I am big on oils on planes, no mists, because I feel they just dry you out even more. So big on, I love sunshine oil. It was one of our OG SKUs and it's really great. It's seven essential oils in it. Obviously a big wiper of everything. I take two blankets. I always wear a hoodie on the plane so the head doesn't touch the seat. Mm-hmm. Or I'll have two blankets, so one underneath, one on top. What else do I do on planes? Always put the window down because you don't want those UV filters coming through that plane window. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of videos on planes. You see my makeup videos on planes.
Yeah.
I think, and the hydration is now, I love the idea of the vegan milk moisturizer. Mm-hmm. We have it in a baby one.
Okay.
So I just take that with me as well.
So smart.
Now you have 160,000 followers over that on Instagram and you have your own hashtag. I feel like that's such a status symbol in itself these days.
Yours
is yours is Commuter Beauty with Zanna.
Yes.
So tell us how this kind of took off. And was there one in particular that got, the most response?
Yeah, it was actually the first one I did.
Yeah.
So we just launched Milk Makeup. I had landed in LA and had to go straight to a meeting. Out of pure necessity, picked up my phone to do my makeup. Used it, flipped it. So used obviously the camera as a mirror, which was novel 4 years ago, guys. And then had it in time lapse. So I just did my entire makeup face. So it was the brows, the skin, the cheek, the lip, the lashes. And then I thought, oh, that's fun. Let's pop it on Instagram. I mean, I basically went from rough to okay-ish. It wasn't like some massive transformation that you can see on Instagram today for most people. And then I posted it, went in a meeting, came out of the meeting. And it was like 100,000 views, which was a lot by then because I probably only had like 50,000 followers. And then in 5 minutes, it was up to 200,000, 300,000, 1 million, 2 million. I think like today it's like 3.9 million or something.
Wow.
It was just went viral. And it was one of those first quick time-lapsed makeup videos that was a transformation.
Yeah.
So I started doing more and more of them. And obviously, it was the way I lived. It was very authentic. It was a real, very real need. It was a necessity, not me pretending to be putting on this fancy look of makeup. And it just resonated. So I started doing more and more of them. And then I started doing some interviews with celebrities. So about their beauty routines in the backs of cars, which really took off. Yeah.
That's so smart.
Can I just say it's the most British thing ever to say? I went from rough to okay.
Rough to okay.
It's true. Yeah. I feel like British women know how to do the back of the taxi.
Yes, we do.
Thing. It's just like so synonymous with getting ready or commuting and getting ready.
There's something about British girls, and I love it. And I'm still, we're not scrappy, and I want to say that, but there's something a little less done. right? Right. Yes. It's like, for me coming here, I never would have had manicures. I wouldn't have had the blow dry, like right. The blow dry, not the blowout. But then, you know, you learn to polish. But American women are more polished. Well, they used to be. Mm-hmm. I think probably now, like most things, all these amazing, like the cheaper manicure, the blowout started in New York. And now obviously it's transported over there.
What's one of the best red carpet beauty tips that you've ever received that you still use today? Whether you use it on yourself to look great on the red carpet, or you know that everybody does it behind the scenes?
CBD oil on the feet.
Mm-hmm. Mm, on the feet?
On the feet.
Okay,
you know
explain.
How painful shoes can be? And it was actually something Michelle Williams told me about it. CBD oil, it numbs the pain of the feet. So you can wear high heels all day and all night long.
Okay.
Have you put it to the test?
Yeah, Lord Jones is a great one. Okay. I've used it a lot, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so many celebrity fans of that brand.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Now, speaking of advice, you have two twin daughters. What's the beauty advice you hope to pass along to them?
Be yourself. Be yourself. Smile. Keep, you know, I think it's very much about whoever they want to be. It's about self-expression. It's those things that we've always championed at Milk Makeup, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to cover yourself up and be someone else. And you can be whoever you want to be on any given day. Mm-hmm. And I really want to instill that in them, and that there's zero pressure around beauty around us.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of doing it all. Like we made mention of, you're running a business, you're editor at large, fashion correspondent on TV. You've done Glam Masters, I believe. Yes. You've done Project Runway. What are you doing next? Is there any TV projects in the works or any other series or anything you can tease?
There's one in the works that I can't really talk about right now.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a TV project in the works, which is super exciting. Mm-hmm. And I'm still with E! And we're still doing all our carpet stuff. And E! News is now over here as well in New York, which is so much fun. So we have Pop of the Morning and E! News now from Rockefeller, where I was used to always be in LA.
Right.
But there's so many fun, exciting. We live in this wonderful field of yes. And I think if you work hard, you know your stuff, and you know, you can really get anywhere in this town as well. Yeah. And I love that idea.
We actually have a little bit of extra time, so I think we're going to do a little bit of rapid fire.
Okay.
Oh, great.
So why don't you tell us, what's the latest book you've read?
Mother of twins with 75 jobs. What was the latest book?
I'm a mom too, and I feel you.
You know, it's a really good mom book then, because I read it this weekend. If I Have to Tell You One More Time, and it's a book about parenting.
Okay.
I forget the name of the author. This is terrible. I remember it. But Google this book. It's so good. It's very, very good advice for parents. You know, when you find yourself like shoving cereal down their neck in the morning, right, or like shouting at them, I never want to be that mom. I never, ever want to be that mom. So it kind of gives you this guide of the parent that you might want to be, because you never really see that, right?
Right.
But it's a really good book.
Okay.
That was a long-winded answer.
Good one.
Now, what about what you've binged on Netflix recently?
It wasn't Netflix, it was Apple, and it was The Morning Show.
Oh, yeah. So good.
So good. I was nearly crying when it was over. I was like, I need 7 more episodes.
Yeah, I know. We need more.
Now, you're pretty entrenched in the fashion scene. What's your most treasured object in your closet? And is there a story behind it?
I have a really great Burberry leather jacket. It was one of my first buys gets, maybe. But it's the ultimate biker jacket, and it's been around the world with me. It tells so many stories. Been out late at night. It's literally traveled everywhere with me. If I ever lost that, I would be devastated. Devastated.
That's the beauty of a biker jacket. The more worn in it gets, just the better it gets.
The more stories it has to tell.
Yeah. And a lot of pockets in there, so every time I put it on, there's something from another time. And it's like, about 4 years ago. And you're like, look at that ticket. Oh, look at that slip balm. What was that?
Yeah. I've actually tried on motorcycle jackets in consignment stores and vintage stores and found stuff in the pod. I'm like, where's this lighter been?
Exactly. Yeah. If only those lighters could tell it.
Yeah. What about the best place to go for a facial in New York or LA? What's your fave?
Facial. Where did I go for a recent facial? See how little I do, guys? I do my own. I'm very...
Too busy.
I'm very DIY.
Yeah.
I do love my own. I've been using the Tatcha masks as well at home, which I really love. There is... I seriously have not been for a facial probably a year.
Yeah. So I don't know. What about your hair? I feel like your hair is signature.
It's
very bright blonde, guys. You can't see it.
Platinum
here.
Blonde. Well, I never used to be this bright and I never didn't do the double process, but my incredible hairstylist, Sean Gallagher at Serge Lamont, mm-hmm. Don't Feed a Serge Lamont in Chelsea, long suffering. I've been going there since I moved to New York, so 12 years.
Yeah.
But I swear by, you know, Christoph Robin. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Their products, their masks, their shampoos, you know, that they're just clean. There's no sulfates. They don't even foam the shampoos, yep. But they leave what should be very chemically cut hair mm-hmm. in okay condition.
Yeah.
That's great.
And is there someone who you like to follow on Instagram?
So many people. Oh.
Who inspires you or makes you laugh?
I like the Brits. I love Alexa Chung. I love Fern Cotton. I don't know if you watch mm-hmm. her. Billie Piper. There's something very self-deprecating about yes. them. And the humor is just great.
Yeah. So good. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. Thank you, girls.
And we look forward to seeing what's next.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time.